Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you here today. Hey, wonderful singing this morning. You know, I just love being down here in the front, and sometimes I just stop singing and listen to you guys singing. What a blessing is it. You know, if you're online, we want to welcome you and encourage you to come. If you're nearby, you got to come. It's just great to be together to sing to the Lord and to worship the Lord. Let's welcome Bishop Abel here this morning. Good morning, brother.
Thank you.
Bishop Abel and I have been dear friends for many, many years, since the early 2000s. Our church has been involved heavily in Kenya, Africa. We've probably taken 15 or 20 teams over there over the last couple of decades. About a decade ago, we helped Bishop launch a church in Nairobi. That church is going well. He's turned that church over to his leadership team, and now is part of our vision here to plant churches around the world. We're helping Bishop Abel plant a new church in Naivasha. And that is about 4 hours outside of Nairobi. But it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back. You'll notice he has like 6 layers of clothes on because he's cold here. Okay. He came from Philadelphia visiting his daughter, and it's cold there, snowing, but it's nice and warm here.
Yes.
Greet us in Swahili.
Bwana sifiwe.
That means praise the Lord. You just say amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
In Kenya, the way that you exchange greetings is you raise your hands and you send us a greeting. So everybody raise your hand toward Bishop Abel. Just wave it. You're sending a greeting to him.
Yes.
When he goes back to Kenya, he'll go in front of his congregation and wave his hand to them, extending your greeting to them. And they'll wave their hand back, receiving your greeting. So that's how we all communicate together. So it's a joy. It's a joy.
Amen.
We call ourselves brothers from a different mother, you know, so... this morning, or when I'm in Kenya, I speak in English and you translate to Swahili.
You're right.
So this morning you speak Swahili and I'll translate to English, okay?
Amen. All right. That is exactly what I'm going to do.
That's exactly what you're going to do.
Yes.
What are you sharing with us this morning?
Conquering the giants in your life.
Conquering the giants in our life. 1 Samuel 17. How many of us are facing a significant issue in our life right now? Facing the giants, conquering the giants in your life. I know you'll be encouraged by it. And so we'll open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's welcome Bishop Abel this morning.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Phil, and the leadership of this church, for the tremendous job you are doing to us in Africa, your prayers and your support. We really appreciate that, and I want to thank God for my brother from another mother. And we are all actually brothers and sisters from different mothers, and we thank God for that. And I have some good friends here that I've known through Pastor Phil, and I call them, some of them are younger than me, so those who are younger than me, I call them my sisters, you know. And I'm really blessed to be here. I wanted to thank God for you and appreciate God for you. But Pastor went down so soon because he said I was going to be preaching in Swahili and he was going to interpret, and now he has gone down. So I don't know. I pray that God will give me, you know, an accent that you will get to understand me, since he has shied off and went down there. I thought he understood me better, but now he's down there. So my prayer is that we are going to be blessed together, and I'm happy to be here. I want really to thank God for such opportunity, for such a wonderful people. You are very special to us. Africa is praying for you, and I know equally you are praying for Africa, especially in Kenya, where I come from. And like you said, there is a church in Nairobi that we began, and you gave support, and now I've turned it over to the leadership of the church, and I'm working on a new church in a place called Naivasha, around 3 or 4 hours away. And the Lord is really blessing us. We got a property. We are so grateful, and now we need to put a good structure there. It may not look like this, but so long as it covers us from the rain and from the wind, we will be happy to worship God inside. Amen. So when I say amen, please, I am used to be saying amen in Africa, so don't get offended. If I say amen, you can say amen. If you don't say, I'm okay. So you have to understand that I'm from another place. And the Lord is going to bless us. So I want to share with us this morning on conquering the giants in our life. And I pray that you listen carefully, you get to get my English. And sometimes, you know, I speak and people are looking, what did he say? But I'm going to pray that you will follow me and you will understand what I'm going to say. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, there is a story that is so famous. We have read it. We read it when we were in Sunday school, and it has been taught to us in several ways. But I've been doing some study of Bible characters lately, and the character of David stood out. And I felt I should share with you some of the few things I learned from it, because all of us face challenges in our lives. All of us face, and challenges are going to be there. Either you are in one, or you have come out of one, or you are heading to one, but challenges will be with us always. And the Lord will always fight and give us a way out. So every Christian has one giant or the other facing him or her. The giants must be confronted. They must be challenged. And they must be conquered before the Christian can progress in his life. The things that we face, we have to squarely face them and rise up and be able to move into the next level where God wants us to be. So, a problem or a challenge is the platform upon which God desires to show how wonderful he can provide for you. Any challenge you could be in now or facing, that could be a platform where God is preparing to spring you into your next level of victory. Now, most of the miracles Jesus did, for example, they were as a result of a challenge that occurred, a problem that happened. For example, Jesus fed the 5,000 because people were hungry. There was not enough food. He healed the one that couldn't walk for 38 years because he was paralyzed. And when Jesus meets this guy, they began to talk together. The guy keeps on saying, you know, I don't have one to take me into the pool when the angel stirs up the water. But Jesus asks him a simple question, do you want to walk? So there was a challenge there. He turned water to wine because there was no more wine, as in John chapter 2. So every day we come across a situation seemingly impossible to overcome. That is when he wants to prove himself as Jehovah Jireh in our lives. Anytime we face opposition, anytime we face challenges, that is a platform God wants to prove himself to us that he is able to provide. This situation is called a Goliath or a giant, according to the passage we are going to read today. In all things, we always have two approaches to the situations that we face. We either respond in panic and fear, or we are calm and down and trust God for the result. Sometimes when we face things that are so hard, it's easier to panic. It's easier to shy off. It's easier to complain and to shift blames. But if you are a man and a woman of faith, again, you can be calm, trust God in the process that is going to cause you to come out more stronger than you entered in. So here, Goliath represents fear, hindrance, obstacle, reproach, torment, or sickness, anything. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to read some few verses. I will not read the whole of it. From verse 33, the Bible says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep, And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after it, and struck it, and delivered the lamb out of its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by the beard, and struck it, and killed it. Your servant killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has divided the armies of the living God. And David said, Jehovah, who has delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and may Jehovah be with you. And Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of bronze on his head. He also armed him with scaled armor. And David guarded his sword on his armor. And he tried to go, but he had not tested it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with this, for I have not tested them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook for himself and put them in a shepherd's vessel, which he had, even in a bag. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near David. And the man who bore the shield was before him. And the Philistine looked and saw David, and disdained him, for he was only a youth, and a ruddy with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cast David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Jehovah of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have divided. You could continue reading the rest of the passage, but I want you to see, this is a young boy that knows his God. Challenges are what makes life interesting. Overcoming them is what makes life meaningful. You know, they will come. They will come. Either we are in one or we have just come out of one, but challenges will be there. Now, what makes it interesting is overcoming them. And what makes it meaningful is for us when we face it and we overcome. Giants are problems, pressures, pains, and persecutions we will have to face from time to time in our lives. Giants oftentimes cause major difficulties in our life and brings with it the possibility of life-threatening situations. When we face giants in our life, or when we face these pressures that I'm talking about, they can threaten our lives. Sometimes we don't even see the light out of it. And that is what exactly the enemy wants to accomplish when he causes you not to see through the obstacle that you are facing. What is a giant? Anything that distracts us from our focus on God, that is a giant. Anything that distracts you, you want to pursue God, you want to follow him, but there's something that is distracting you, that is a giant. Anything that deters us from our service for God. Anything that deters you not to serve God, not for you to serve the purposes of God, that is a giant. Anything that drains us of our driving passion for God. You find you really want to do it for God, but the passion is not there. Something has drained it from you. That is what I call a giant. So giants represent anything which is opposed to God. So what are some of the giants in people's lives? Resentment could be a big challenge. There's something somebody did to you, or you did to somebody, and you have not overcome it. That could be a giant. Fear. You are afraid. Your life is in fear. You don't know if you're going to make it. There are several things you want to do, but you are afraid. That could be a giant. Loneliness, that could be a giant. Guilty and shame, that could be a giant. Worry. Some of us worry so much. I read somewhere that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it's not taking you anywhere. Sometimes we worry. We worry. Discouragement, jealousy, depression, hopelessness, bitterness. That could be a giant. Pride, selfishness, doubt. There could be several. Anything that actually is opposed to the will of God in your life, that could be a giant. So we can say that these things and many other things like this oppose God. That is a giant. Giants that are before us must be slain and must be removed so that we can pursue the purposes of God in our lives. We need to be fighters. We need to challenge them, and we need to come out victorious. How do you see your giant today? Do you see it as a problem, or do you see it as a possibility? We shall discuss this topic today under three subheadings, using David as our case study today. I want to speak about how you can confront your giants, and number two, how you can challenge your giants, and then conclude on how you can conquer your giants. That's what I want to share with you today. God's people need to understand that they need to confront their giants. They need to challenge them, and they need to conquer them. When problems come, it's not time for us to shift blames. It's not time for us to begin complaining. It is time for us to rise up. In fact, giants come as a clarion call so that we can rise up to our potential and do that which God wants us to do. It's not time for us to begin cowering down and complaining and leaving them. So confronting your giants, we must courageously confront our giants. David saw a giant, but he confronted him with great courage. Let us notice what David saw as he looked and confronted Goliath. When these problems come, and they will come, I'm not trying to prophesy doom, but we live in a world where challenges are. Jesus said one day, since he overcame, we will overcome. Challenges are going to come. Now, his appearance, the appearance of Goliath. Goliath was a gigantic man. His appearance was beyond comprehension. His appearance scared all the Israelites. Even the king himself, Saul, was not ready to go and face Goliath because of his appearance. His armor. Goliath was decked out in brass armor. That is according to verses 5 to 7. Goliath wanted to appear strong and unbeatable. He accomplished his task because Israel was afraid of him. And that is exactly what the enemy wants to do in us. He wants to make us look so small. He wants to make us think we are not going to come out of this challenge we are facing. His allegiance. Goliath cast God, David, in the name of his gods. No, Goliath had an allegiance to his gods with a small g, not with a big g. David used the phrase uncircumcised Philistine to expose the fact that Goliath did not belong to the covenant people of Israel. Because when David comes and he says, I will face this uncircumcised Philistine, he simply is saying to Goliath, you are not on the covenant line. Because the covenant was what marked the people of God. So, Goliath was not a covenant person. Circumcision to the people of God was one of the constant reminders of the fact that God had made a covenant with them. Goliath being called uncircumcised Philistine meant that he opposed all that God stood for, because he was not for the same covenant. He seemed unstoppable and presented himself as someone who will not go down. That's what the enemy does. What kind of giant are you facing today? What seems to be stopping you dead in your tracks? Does your giant seem unstoppable? Do you feel that there is no way that you can defeat something that you are facing at this moment? David had to confront his giant in his mind and in his heart before he ever tried to attack him. Goliath was a representative of the Philistines. He was aggressive. He was persistent. Every day, twice a day, for 40 days, Goliath stood in a territory that belonged to Israel and demanded that someone fight him. That guy was very scary. And the soldiers were so much afraid of him. Every day, twice a day, he could come out and shout and say, "Bring me a man to fight with me. If I kill him, you remain our slaves. But if you kill me, then we are going to serve you." So nobody wanted to go out. And that is what the enemy does to fulfill, make us feel like we are unable to do it. The size of Goliath, the sound of Goliath, the strength of Goliath was frightening. So the people of God were actually in the bondage of fear because of some giant that stood against them and their God. And that is what the enemy always wants to accomplish. He brings fear so that you don't see through the eyes of God. You don't see what God has for you. You don't even remember what God has taken you from and how he has stood with you throughout life. He wants to block you that you cannot be able to see fear. We need to learn, or now we can overcome fear. What is Satan using as a giant to stop you from becoming the Christian you ought to be? Do you have resentment in your heart towards someone that did you wrong or something that has happened in the past? Are you running from something that God has called you to do? Is your family facing marital or financial difficulties? Are you having trouble with the guilt or shame that you feel because of something you did in the past? Has something taken place in the past that so disappointed you that you just can't seem to get over? Are you finding it difficult to have a consistent and a committed Christian life? What are you going to have to do is courageously confront your giant and realize that you cannot go on in your Christian life until you deal with those issues through the eyes of faith. And God is willing to help us. You should also recognize that they can be defeated and removed in by the help of God. Any challenge that you could be facing, God is able. The Bible says he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all, that we may think according to the power that worketh within us. Imagine God has given us power that is working within us. He is able to do it exceedingly, abundantly. Sometimes we try to figure out on our own strength, but God wants to help us. So we need to face them. And we need to overcome them. Amen. Amen. The number two, challenging your giants. How do you challenge them? We must confidently challenge our giants. You don't have to be defeated by your giants. Your giant may not be your real problem. Your real problem may be your evaluation of your giant. Sometimes we exaggerate the way we evaluate the problem, the challenge we are facing. We exaggerate. But God wants to help us. The giant that you are facing may just be God's means of getting you to ask him for the blessing he has been waiting to give you all along. The challenge you are facing could be a platform that God wants to spring you to your next level of your life. It's you to know what is that you are facing that seems to deter you and hinder your progress in your walk of faith. Your giant should not be a problem. Let it be like a stepping stone that will spring you to your next level. Now, there's two things David did here. He recalled the past victories. Friends, God has given each one of us victories in the past. There was a challenge, there was a problem. You know well that God gave you the victory. And David here, when he is going to face Goliath, he remembers what God had done to him. When King Saul couldn't understand why David wanted to go out and face Goliath, David couldn't get over the fact of what God had done for him in the past. You know, when God does things for us, we thank him, but we quickly forget. And that is what the enemy wants. But David remembered that. King Saul kept talking about how big Goliath was compared to them. David began to talk how small Goliath was compared to his God. King Saul began to repeat his excuses. David began to remember the experiences that he has had with God. David kept a spiritual file in his mind and heart of the things God had done for him. I challenge you, friends. You need that spiritual file of what God has done for you. You need to put it in your mind and in your heart. There are things that God has done for you. There are places God helped you to come out from. He knew that he could confront and challenge Goliath based on the fact that God had done it for him in the past. The little battles we have won, the little prayers you think they are so little, you prayed and God gave you an answer. God was simply telling you, my son, my daughter, I hear and I answer prayer. I am there for you. Those little things, they are the stepping stones that God wants to use to take us into another level. The private victories are preparing us for public victories. There's something God is doing. So you need to renew your faith for present victories. You need to know, to understand that. So David's confidence rested in the God that brought him through the past. This is where the battles were won. David knew that his God was bigger than Goliath. Friends, our God is bigger than the problems we are facing. He is bigger. He is there and is waiting for us to rise up and face them. If you are facing a giant in your life, the only thing you can do is to put your faith in the God who can do all things. Put your faith there. Don't look at your giant from an earthly point of view. Look at it from heaven's point of view. God is bigger than any giant that you will ever face. He is bigger. We need to learn that. God is bigger. And then the last thing, but not the least, we need to conquer our giants. We need to conquer them. We must completely conquer our giants. They will come, but we need to learn to fight as warriors. You know, there is a song we used to sing when I was young. I'm still young. When I was younger. Usually I hear people say that life begins at 40 and I'm only 20 years in my life. And so there's a song we used to sing. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, if you want to grow. Sometimes we overlook those statements of those words. Every day, if you want to grow, you need to read your Bible. There's no way you can conquer unless you understand the manual that God has given us. He has given us his word. He has given us His word as our weapon that we need to use every time we face the challenges. We must completely conquer them. We must note that there are only two proper motives for wanting to see your giants defeated. Motive number one, to bring glory to God. You know, God wants to bring glory to Himself. When He overcomes on your behalf, glory should go back to Him. This should be the ultimate motivator for all of life. Everything we do should be passed through the filter of God's glory. Every challenge, when you overcome it, so not that you can be proud and say, I am a prayer warrior, I prayed myself away of this. No, it brings glory back to God. That should be the attitude. And number two, a desire for God's plan to be fulfilled in your life. God has a plan for you. There is a plan for each one of you. It's you to discover what is your plan in God's mandate. Every one of us, you need to know, what are you called for? For example, we can all make a joyful noise, but not all of us can be able to sing following the keys as the worshipers were doing here. But all of us can make a joyful noise. But there's an area that I'm good at. I need to know and discover, where am I good at? Because we all can serve God from our own way, where we are strong at. There are some who are good in, you know, helping. There are some who are good in giving. There are some who are, you know, in different areas. It is you to discover. It may be part of God's plan for you to defeat the giant so that glory can go back to Him. God is greater than your giants. Those are the attitudes you need to understand. He is greater than your giants. He is greater. The God who worked then will still work now. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is there. He answers prayer. God has not stopped answering our prayers. God has not stopped helping us. It is us to know that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that you don't need new methods to defeat your giants. There are no schemes that you need to come up with that these are the only way you can overcome. No. We have tried and proven weapons like prayer, faith, and the word of God will still get the job done even today. We need to pray. Prayer is work. But prayer works, my friends. The Bible says faith. Faith is a weapon. We need to use it. When we face things, we need to understand that God really works. We need to communicate with our headquarter, and I call it heaven. That's what I'm calling our headquarter, about your giant. Prayer is the believer's greatest secret weapon. Pray. Somebody said, if you're not praying, then you're playing. You don't need to play, you need to pray. Attack your giant in faith. Know that God always gives the victory. He will give you the victory. He has promised. God did not save you to let you fall at the hand of your giant. No. The battles we are facing are not ours. God is there fighting for us. Giants are placed in our lives to grow us in the Lord. They wake us up so that we can do what God wants us to do. And I call them, they are the original breakfast of champions. We need to know that. Now, before David conquered Goliath, he had to overcome some obstacles that were before him. What are some of the obstacles David had to overcome? Number one, the obstacle of cowardice. The whole army of Israel were cowards. They were all afraid. Number one thing the enemy does is to cause you fear. Not even to pray, not even to attempt it. You become afraid. But David had to overcome the cowardice spirit. David had to overcome the obstacle of criticism. They criticized him. David's brothers criticized him. for coming to their camp. In fact, his brother said, I know you are not in us. Where have you left the little sheep? Why are you? What are you doing here? And David answers and he says, is there not a cause? David understood his cause. Friends, I want to challenge us. We need to understand our cause. Criticism will come. People will criticize us. In fact, not everyone will like you. But thank God, he likes us the way we are. David had to overcome the obstacle of concern. Saul was so much concerned. How is this handsome boy going to face this man of war? How? But David had to overcome the concern. You know, David was in the hands of Saul. And Saul tried to clothe him. He tried to prepare him for war. And David said, no, I'm not used to this. David had to overcome the obstacle of a champion. Goliath was a threat. And for that matter, big one. Because even the men of war, even the king himself, was afraid. David was about to face the greatest challenge of his life. David experienced the power of the Lord. The Lord was with him. And the same God who was with David is with us today. And he promises to answer and fight for us. From an earthly standpoint, David looked outclassed and outmanned. But from a heavenly standpoint, Goliath was no match for David's God. David faced Goliath in the name of the Lord. Goliath faced David in the name of his gods. That's what the Bible says. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to that name and they are saved. David knew the secret. That's the name we need to invoke in all our challenges. When you face your giant, take time to whisper the name of Jesus. It will give you comfort. It will give you calmness. And it will give you courage. Solomon said it in Proverbs 18, verse 10. David enjoyed the provision of the Lord. When we walk in the steps of God, he will always fight for us. And he will always come through for us. He will always vindicate us. In verses 52 and 53, we see that David and the army of Israel enjoyed the fruits of their victory. David is an example that when one life is yielded to the Lord, it will make a huge difference in many lives. One life. David was just a boy. He was not used to war. But when he yielded his ways to the Lord caused him to change the country. The Lord caused him to bring peace. The Lord caused him to be a blessing to many people. And I want to say to you today, one life yielded to God can make a difference in our community, in our nation. One life. And that is the life I'm speaking about today. So the same thing that happened to David can happen to you today. The Lord can use you. Don't give that giant that you are facing in your life an opportunity to live again in your life. It is time to eliminate them. It is time to finish them. It is time to rise up and enjoy the blessings of God. As I conclude, as you face your giants and fight your giants and finish your giants, people will begin to ask, what makes you so different? It makes no difference what you are facing. It makes no difference what your giant may be. You can defeat any giant that comes your way. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. The God in you is greater. May we allow him to rise up and give us strength in our times of weakness. May we allow God to prove himself as God in every circumstance we face. When David defeated Goliath, Israel enjoyed. I don't see again his brothers speaking to him, you are naughty. I don't see them again speaking against David. Everybody was happy. When one of us overcomes the challenges, you become a blessing to the rest of the community. When David defeated Goliath, others were blessed. When you allow God to give you victory over your giant, others will be encouraged and be blessed. Greater is in you than the one that is in the world. What giant are you facing today? By man's strength, we cannot overcome it. But when we call upon the power of God, He will fight for us. I don't know what you are going through, but I have a God in heaven who is willing to answer all our prayers. If we go to Him in faith, He will fight for us. He is a faithful God. He will not let you down. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. So today, this morning, it doesn't matter what challenge you are facing. I'm talking to conquerors. I'm talking to champions. I'm talking to people that know their God. The Bible says in Daniel, the people who know their God, they shall do exploits. May God cause you to overcome any challenge you are facing. May God give you the strength. May you rise up in prayer and trust God for your family, for your business, for our country. May we rise up in faith and know that we have a God who knows us and is willing to answer us. Amen. Amen. I humbly want to ask us so that we can pray. I may not understand what you guys are going through. Maybe this message could be for me. God can really give me a message and bring me all this far and speak to me. Or it could be for us. But giants are there. Problems are there. But we have a God who is bigger than our problems. He is there. And He is willing to give us the strategy on how to come out of them. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You. Lord, we love You this morning. Indeed, Father, You have spoken to us through this passage that there could be giants in our lives. There could be things that try to deter us and oppose the will of God in our life. And Lord, this morning I pray for this wonderful group of people. May You fight for them. May You cause them to be overcomers. Help us today, Father, to stand strong and see the victory You are about to give us. We thank You and we love You. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Thanks you so much, Abel. I'm so glad you had asked me to write that sermon for you. So it was just excellent. You delivered it. You know, as I've known Abel over the last several decades, he's faced a lot of challenges. It's difficult to serve the Lord in Kenya, in Nairobi. It's a difficult setting, and God has given Abel a very strong spirit in the Lord, and God has done great things in and through him. So we want to honor that. Let's stand as we close our time together. Let's stand together. You know, part of what our church mission is all about right now is planting a new church somewhere in the world, and we've chosen Abel's work in Nairobi. You can see on the screen a little map of where Naivasha is, about 4 hours outside of Nairobi, and there is the piece of property that you as a congregation just purchased for the church there, that their lease was up, and so there's a piece of property. And their lease was up on their previous location. The church is just getting off the ground. They have some leaders there. Abel is discipling and leading those leaders. They took the building that was on their previous property that they were renting and moved it to this location. So right now, there's their church building. And it's a little bit difficult, isn't it? It's a little bit difficult and needs a few coats of paint and a couple of things. Actually, what the strategy is in Naivasha is to finish this particular structure a little bit more securely, make it a kid's Sunday school room, and then to build something similar, fresh and new, for the congregation. And so, as Bishop Abel is here this week, we're praying for two things. One, we're trying to raise about $5,000 for the new structure. And then also a little bit more for the toilets so that they don't have to borrow the toilets from the neighbor, because right now they have to go to the neighbor and ask if they could use the restroom. So our goal while he's here on this trip is that the Lord would provide enough to put a structure there and to put some chos there as well. So if you want to be part of that, you're welcome to. He's going to be at a table out there. He's on all of our giving apps as an option. If you want to go online or use your church app and you go to the giving there, there's an option, Bishop Abel. And you can just click there, and that will go toward this structure. That's what we're trying to do. So we're just so glad that he's here today. Please come out and say hello to him. He has some prayer cards out there. If you'd like to give him your contact information, he'd love to keep in touch through a newsletter or an email. You can tear off the bottom, and you can know how to pray for him as he goes there. So thank you so much for coming. This concludes our service. Let's meet Abel out in the courtyard. Have a wonderful Sunday.